to the Resilient Migrant Podcast, a podcast where African immigrants get to talk about their experiences as they assimilate to a different country. This is your host, Brenda Mure.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
I'm very fine. Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming to this podcast. I know you are all the way from Rwanda. What time is it there?
Here it's 3 p.m.
Wow. Okay. And it's 9 a.m. So I had to wake up and do this, but I am glad. First, I want to let you know that I'm very, very, very excited to talk to you because you're my first guest from the African diaspora. So thank you so much for joining me.
It's my pleasure joining in today.
You're welcome. I think I like letting people introduce themselves. So introduce yourself.
I'm Jane Mwangi. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I live in Kigali right mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. And previously, I lived in Ghana for 12 years. Mm-hmm. And then I had a break of 6 years in Kenya between Ghana and here, Kigali. Yeah, I'm married mm-hmm. and I have 2 children.
Wow. Thank you so much. Obviously, this being a podcast on immigrants, you really, really have a wonderful story and you have mentioned about Ghana and Rwanda. First of all, we'd like to know what country you were born in.
I'm Kenyan, born in Nakuru mm-hmm. in Kenya. Mm-hmm. Yes. But then migrated later as an adult in 2002 to Ghana. Yeah.
Oh, that's when you went to Ghana. And what prompted you to go to move to Ghana?
Moved to Ghana because of my husband's job. Mm-hmm. He was seconded by his company to go work there. Mm-hmm. As a family, we are our priorities is to always be together. So he had an option of declining or taking it up and we go together.
Okay.
And we decided he should take it and we go together.
Oh, that's great. So you stayed in Ghana for 12 years. How did you like life in Ghana?
Oh, Ghana is a beautiful country. It's a nice place. Mm-hmm. But as usual, you know, as a migrant, there are challenges that are unique to mm-hmm. migrants mm-hmm. whenever you are in a different country. Mm-hmm. And Africa is not different from other countries, you mm-hmm. know, for migrants. Mm-hmm. Because like now, when we went to Ghana, I had thought that I could do business. Mm-hmm. But then I realized the market is very closed to foreigners because mm-hmm. I was told that I could only do business if I had $300,000 in cash or
wow.
in good. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't do business. Right now, I'm told it's even worse. You need $2 million.
Wow. US dollars? Wow.
Yes, US mm-hmm. dollars. Mm-hmm. So it becomes very difficult for a migrant mm-hmm. because I went there as a dependent mm-hmm. of my husband and I had thought I would do business. Mm-hmm. Then I started looking for a job mm-hmm. and nobody was willing to hire me because I didn't have a work permit. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't get a work permit without a job. So
chicken,
egg issue. Mm-hmm. And I kept chasing for an opportunity for 3 years mm-hmm. and I said, wow, this is going to be hard. Mm-hmm. And that's when I decided, let me go back to school, you know, just to keep myself, you know, alive, mm-hmm. you know, intellectually. You
yeah.
know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And after that, I got an opportunity to teach at the University of Ghana
mm-hmm.
as a Swahili teacher.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I was teaching Swahili to non-Swahili mm-hmm. speakers there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a degree in Swahili.
Wow.
By this time, I had three degrees, but mm-hmm. none of them was in Swahili. But they needed mm-hmm. a native Swahili speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave me that opportunity.
Wow, wow. And just to backtrack, I should have called you. You are Dr. Jane Mwangi, like giving honor where it is due. You have a PhD in migration studies, and we'll talk about that later. Thank you for talking about that. So you talked about the challenges of moving to a different country and having to face the immigration paperwork. I personally have never even thought about what the African diaspora is all about. So it's good to talk to you. Are there any other challenges you found in integrating to a different African country?
Yeah, the other challenge is that when we were in Ghana, I became a mother.
Mm-hmm.
we went to Ghana when we had no children, but then our children were born in Ghana. And we thought that our children automatically became Ghanaians, but they didn't. Later, when I started my degree, my PhD in migration studies, I realized that my children are not Ghanaians. They are actually born abroad, because citizenship in Ghana is by blood and not by birth.
Wow.
And up to now, that's a challenge we still deal with, because like now my daughter is applying to universities in the US, and they keep asking, are you a dual citizen? How comes you are born in Ghana and you claim to be Kenyan? You know, and she has a lot of explaining to do.
Wow. A different culture, different nation, different immigration systems. And this is such an eye-opener. I'm sure listeners will see it as an eye-opener. And having said about the paperwork, are there any other things that you loved about Ghana?
Oh, Ghana has beautiful culture, beautiful values, cultural values that, you know, that help even in bringing up a family in Ghana, because you find that children become very respectful in Ghana. They expect anybody older than them, even if they are older with only a few hours. You know, and it's reflected in the language. You know? If you are even siblings, you call your elder sister, so and so. You never call them by their name. It's beautiful. It's nice. And there's a lot of respect accorded to people, right, left, center. And I think those are very beautiful values. Their food is different from Kenyan food. And there is variety. It's a beautiful country. It's a beautiful country with hospitable people. It's a nice place. Initially, we were to be there for 2 years, but we ended up staying there for 12 years. Oh, I mean, that tells you that the country is so welcoming. It's a nice country. And it's a good country to live in.
Wow, that's great. So after Ghana, after the 12 years, you transitioned back to Kenya. How was that transition?
You know, initially we thought we were excited that we were going back home. My husband was transferred back to Kenya by his company. And we thought, wow, at last, we are going to be home, you know, and our children were so excited about it. We thought it would be easy to integrate back. But shock on us, we went back to Kenya and people back home treated us so differently from how they used to treat us whenever we visited, you know. They were treating us like foreigners, like strangers, like we don't know you. By the time we got back to Kenya, I had my PhD in migration studies, and I already had 3 other degrees, 2 masters and a bachelor's in anthropology. And I visited various public universities where there were opportunities, and I would be told, so, you know, we don't have a lecturer for this. And I would go there and they would actually confirm, yes, we don't have someone to teach this. We even have students and they have nobody. But they never wanted to hire me.
Wow.
Only to learn later that from one of the professors in one of the universities, I don't want to name names. You know, Jane, why we can't go on in this country called Kenya is because we are afraid. We are afraid to have you here because, first of all, you look young. Secondly, you are a woman. And third, because you look like you know what you're doing. Nobody wants such a person in this environment because you are a threat. I was so short. And it became very difficult finding a job, not because jobs were not there, but because people did not want to hire me, you know, having come from elsewhere. And it was such a big shock for me. But then I, having lived outside and, you know, the experiences that I had accumulated over the years, including disappointments whenever we tried to invest at home, I decided to start a company that Diaspora Interlink to help other people in the diaspora to invest back home. And so that was my mainstay. That's what I was doing when we got back. That's still what I do even now. I work remotely from Kigali. Kigali is just an hour, you know, flight to And I have a team on the ground in Nairobi. So I still do that. So that's what drove me to starting Diaspora Interlink. Mm-hmm. First of all, to help other people in the diaspora invest back home. Mm-hmm. And also finding something to do for myself. Mm-hmm. Later on, I got a teaching job at Riara University, mm-hmm. teaching migration studies and mm-hmm. diaspora studies mm-hmm. as an adjunct. And it was all good.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you talked about the challenges of switching back to your home country. There's always this challenge of people thinking, when I go back, I'll just integrate and be accepted. But that's not always possible. I had the similar experience also in a major university in Kenya. I went to see somebody networked with me, with a professor trying to help me get a job, but I was just told point blank, you don't fit in. And that was that is painful coming from your own people.
It is. You know, it is very painful. And it's not just job wise. Mm-hmm. Even when you're looking for a house, people want to charge you more. You know, they're seeing you as someone who has been outside. Mm-hmm. Whenever someone got to know that, you have returned from mm-hmm. being away, even mm-hmm. rent, mm-hmm. they want to ask you for more. Mm-hmm. You know, people want to just, you know, mm-hmm. take advantage of you. It mm-hmm. was hard. It was hard for us. Mm-hmm. My children also had a challenge because mm-hmm. they were born and brought up in Ghana. My mm-hmm. daughter was 10 when mm-hmm. we went back to Kenya. My son was 6. Mm-hmm. And the accent betrayed them.
Wow.
The Ghanaian accent was quite strong, and they were not fluent in Swahili. Uh-huh. Wherever they went, I don't want to call it discrimination, mm-hmm. but I don't have a better word, mm-hmm. but they actually felt discriminated in their own country, and they mm-hmm. felt so bad. They were like, we are at home, for heaven's mm-hmm. sake. Mm-hmm. And people, kids don't have courtesy. They would tell them, go away, you. They were calling them, you Nigerians. Uh-huh. You know, people don't know the difference in
West Africa.
Yeah, everybody in West Africa is called Nigerian in Kenya.
That's true.
Go away, you Nigerians, and all that. And they felt like, wow. We better go back to Ghana.
Wow. And I'm glad would have been my next question to ask about the experiences your children had. Because sometimes children are able to assimilate better than adults. But again, that was the experience of your children. Now from Kenya, again, you transition back to Rwanda. Why did you transition move to Rwanda?
Oh, this was the hardest move I've ever done before. Mm-hmm. Going to Ghana, I'm the one who even encouraged my husband, let's take that opportunity. We were young and adventurous. Mm-hmm. Going back to Kenya, we were excited. Yeah, we are going home. But mm-hmm. coming to Rwanda, mm-hmm. That was a hard one for mm-hmm. all of us.
Wow.
The parents, the children, it was so hard. Mm-hmm. But it was career progression for my husband. Mm-hmm. And it was such an important step that mm-hmm. we had been waiting for all these years. Mm-hmm. And then it came with mm-hmm. a condition of going to Rwanda, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so we were thinking, should we forfeit the opportunity mm-hmm. or should we take it and go to Rwanda, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm. Because by this time, I was totally settled in my business and I was doing well. And mm-hmm. our children were also settled mm-hmm. in Kenya, and even my husband was fine. Mm-hmm. But then after discussing and even praying, mm-hmm. we realized we needed to come to Kigali. It was the most difficult move, mm-hmm. but we had to really like encourage ourselves and mm-hmm. come to Kigali. Mm-hmm. And we are happy to be here. Apparently, okay. We came at the, you know, at the peak of COVID-19, mm-hmm. you know, September 2020.
Oh.
That was not the time to relocate, you mm-hmm. know. Mm-hmm. We needed to be here because my husband had started his job, mm-hmm. his next assignment, in Kigali in mm-hmm. July. Mm-hmm. And he needed to be here physically. So mm-hmm. we needed to come.
Wow.
And we have made peace with the fact that we need to be here. And it's all good. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful place. It's beyond our imagination. We are enjoying it, you mm-hmm. know, and we are even surprised that we were resisting coming. We are happy. And the other Kenyans who are here look happy. I mean, people whose contracts have ended mm. seem to be looking for other things to do here instead of running back home. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure there must be something good in here.
Wow. So would you say, considering what you told me about Ghana and the paperwork and integrating, Is it easier in Rwanda to integrate in terms of getting the immigration papers? Like, how is that changed for most Kenyans or even African immigrants?
I think Ghana is the easiest country for a foreigner so far that I know about.
Mm-hmm.
It's the easiest. You don't struggle to get a work permit.
You don't, Ghana or Rwanda? You said Ghana, Rwanda?
Oh, I mean Rwanda. You know, okay. Ghana is Rwanda.
That's
okay. Uh-huh. And then Rwanda. Mm-hmm. Rwanda is so easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want a work permit, whether you want to do business, whether you want, you know, a work permit to work somewhere,
mm-hmm.
it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people here are so welcoming. The officials treat you well,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody here respects foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
Provided you're not doing the wrong thing,
mm-hmm.
you know. They see foreigners as people who have come to add value to their country, and they
mm-hmm.
treat you so well.
Mm-hmm.
The paperwork is so easy.
Wow.
It's so amazing. That, I mean, this is one of the African countries that other African countries need to copy.
Oh.
It's so coming. Whether you're talking about refugees who are hosted here
mm-hmm.
or, you know, regular or other economic migrants who are here
mm-hmm.
and... you know, all sorts of people find home.
Mm-hmm.
They find a home in Rwanda. It's a country that treats people well. You don't even feel like you are a foreigner.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Apart from the fact that, you know, it's Kinyarwanda that is widely spoken.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the language barrier will always remind you that you don't belong here.
Mm-hmm.
There's
mm-hmm.
not so many other things that remind you that you are a foreigner.
Oh. mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you say there are any challenges that you find now being in Rwanda, as much as you love it?
Okay, the challenge for me is that I need... Well, in this country, I need to find something to do.
Hmm.
But I realized that I can still work remotely. You know, COVID-19 opened our eyes to
mm-hmm.
things that were not, possibilities that were not
mm-hmm.
in existence before. So
mm-hmm.
I'm still able to work from home.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm still able to work, you know, as though I'm in Kenya.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because I'm not looking for something to do around here,
mm-hmm.
it becomes easier. But I can imagine for families I've met with
mm-hmm.
Where, you know, the spouse has to look for something to do because it's one person that
mm-hmm.
came
mm-hmm.
with a job. The other person has to look for something to do. As much as getting the work permit is easy
mm-hmm.
and you don't have any problems with that. Even starting a business here is not restricted
mm-hmm.
it's for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
As much as that is there, you still have to look for something to do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
An accompanying spouse. So
mm-hmm.
that's a challenge for migrants
mm-hmm.
generally, especially in the family context, where
mm-hmm.
it's one person that has a job and the other person is accompanying them. But it's easier for the accompanying spouse than it was for us in Ghana, and I guess even for foreigners in Kenya, they have it rough.
Oh wow.
Because I think there are very few countries that have opened up their economy like Kenya, Rwanda has done.
Oh, wow. Wow. Great, great to know. So having had all these experiences, it has taught you something about business venturing. And you mentioned the diaspora interlink. I know you mentioned
yes.
if somebody wants to invest back home. So in a nutshell, what do you really do? Let's say, for example, if I approach you, what are some of those services that you offer?
Okay, Diaspora Interlink is it's an organization that is passionate about linking and facilitating diaspora investment in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we are operating in Kenya,
mm-hmm.
but we hope to expand to other countries in
mm-hmm.
East Africa and other places.
Mm-hmm.
And our vision is to be able to provide a reliable investment channel for all African diaspora interested in investing back in the continent.
Mm-hmm.
And what we offer is tailor-made solutions to investment needs
mm-hmm.
of the African diaspora.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
for example, if you want to buy land,
mm-hmm.
we connect you with genuine land sellers.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we are doing that for Kenyans in the diaspora.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to construct
mm-hmm.
a house on your land,
mm-hmm.
do property development
mm-hmm.
from zero, from, you know, change of user, drawings,
mm-hmm.
approvals,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the actual construction, we do all that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, when buying property, we help you to even, you know, do valuation and see whether that property is worth the money they're asking for. And we do due diligence on the property. And if you have some big chunk of land and you want subdivided, we also offer survey services. So we basically tailor-made solutions for whatever problem, because people have different needs.
Okay.
Someone wants to buy land, there's someone who has a piece of land they want to construct. So we tailor-make, you know, whatever it is that you need, whatever solution that you need. And at the end of the day, when you have engaged us, or even if you haven't engaged us to construct, but you already have properties in Kenya, we help you manage those properties, both commercial and residential properties. Very personalized attention to each landlord, and also give them advice on all matters relating to properties, whether it's insurance, taxes, people suits, whatever it is. And the other thing we do, and especially this focuses on business owners and people who want to offer services and products to their diaspora, we offer a marketing platform for them.
Okay.
So that they can market their products and their services to the diaspora clientele. Maybe I should just add something, that our core values are dependability, integrity, affordability, and innovation. And the reason why you should choose us is because we are an authentic company that combines integrity with affordability to deliver value to our clients. Integrity is something that is very important in investment, especially where diaspora is concerned.
Oh yes, most people in the diaspora can say about the integrity part. We need people who have integrity, and I'll make sure I put your links on the show notes when we end the recording, so that people can get in touch with you. So I want to turn the tables around. As I said, you are Dr. Jane Mwangi. I know you have a PhD in migration studies. Can you talk about your work and your research in migration? I think this is a very, very important subject, considering the world is becoming a small village. So tell us about your work and studies.
I decided to do a PhD in migration studies because I was a migrant, and I wanted to understand this whole thing called migration, in a deeper sense, rather than just experiencing it, but also from the academic side. And it was very mind-opening for me. And my research was on the development potential of the Kenyan diaspora, as far as impacting Kenya Vision 2030 is concerned. And I interviewed Kenyans in the UK, in the US, in Canada, and in Ghana. And it was very, as I said, it was mind-opening. Actually, this is what motivated me to start Diaspora Interlink, because I realized that there are so many Kenyans who want to invest at home, and whenever they have tried, they have had all these problems. People defraud them, and there are all sorts of bureaucracies also from the government side. There are also all these hindrances to investment. And I realized many people really want to invest at home. And as much as people in the diaspora are settled wherever they are, their mind is at home. They want to do something either for the family or something for themselves in the future, and things like that. And this came out so strongly from my research. I realized that the diaspora contributes so much to the development of a country. And even those who don't invest, whenever you send money, it may look like, you know, little sums of money. But that little by little sent by different people, it has a multiplier effect in the economy. You know, as much as you're sending it to your father, to your mother, to your brother, to your sister, that money has such a great impact on the economy.
That's true. That's true.
And apart from money, you know, the diaspora also have skills that they bring back home when they come back. And even when they are away, whenever they visit, they come with new ideas, you know, apart from financial remittances, mm-hmm. the diaspora have something we call social remittances that mm-hmm. they bring. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they don't even have to come. Mm-hmm. Just a call, you know, they can call someone at home and advise them on an issue. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tell them this is how to solve the problem, A, B, C, D, because they have the exposure mm-hmm. that people at home may not have. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Different things. They have found different ways of dealing with challenges. Mm-hmm. And this is something that we wouldn't benefit from if it were not for the fact that we have a diaspora out there,
wow. know,
as a continent. You know, so we have so many things that we benefit from mm-hmm. as far as the diaspora is concerned. Mm-hmm. So, and that mainly is focusing on the economic migrants, mm-hmm. the diaspora, and when they are willingly. But there are also those who did not go willingly, mm-hmm. but they are still attached to their homeland.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
For their homeland. Mm-hmm. Find that even people went as refugees. They still contribute a lot mm-hmm. to their home country. They still do that a lot.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what would be your advice? We are almost ending our podcast. What would be your advice to somebody who wants to move to an African country? What are the things they need to look out for or research on?
Okay. First off, there are many opportunities in Africa. Mm-hmm. For anyone, you mm-hmm. know, there are many opportunities. You just need to look for those opportunities and go when you have a job mm-hmm. there waiting mm-hmm. for you. Mm-hmm. When you go with a job, it's easy mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. because in Africa, it becomes different. Africa is not like Europe and the US. You can't just come with your bags mm-hmm. and you start thinking, oh, let me start looking for a job. Mm-hmm. Because these African countries have the same challenges, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Can't leave Kenya thinking that you will come to Rwanda from zero. Mm-hmm. You find that African countries have similar challenges, so mm-hmm. you can't say that this mm-hmm. country, you know, my life will turn around unless you have already sat down, mm-hmm. you have checked mm-hmm. for information, mm-hmm. you know where you are going and why you are going. Mm-hmm. The moment you get those right. Then you're good to go.
So yes. do your research is what you're saying before you go. Yeah. So is there one question you think mm-hmm. I should have asked you that I didn't in terms of your experiences?
Well, I think you are quite thorough. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think you are quite thorough and uh-huh. we have covered most of the things that I would have loved to say, but mm-hmm. maybe just to emphasize on the fact that as I've mentioned, one of the challenges moving from one country to another in the African continent mm-hmm. is the accompanying spouses mm-hmm. okay. finding something, because some countries are very strict.
Okay.
And you find that you are on your passport, the moment they sign, they feel in that you are a dependent, you are not able to do anything for the time that you are there.
Wow. But
others are opening up, like Rwanda, as I've mentioned, mm-hmm. and it becomes easy for an accompanying spouse to find something to do. And that helps a lot.
Wow, wow, wow. Thank you so much for that. I would encourage my listeners to go to your website. I really, and as I said before this show, that I never thought about the African diaspora, but when I started researching on you and also reading on some papers you've done on the African diaspora, it was an eye-opener. There's a market, there's life in Africa. Let's go back home in Africa for great resources and some openings. So as we end, I just want to ask you some fun questions. I always like asking these questions. Mm-hmm. How do you say bye in, what's the official language of Ghana?
Ghana, they speak English. They have different ethnic groups uh-huh. and different languages. Uh-huh. But the one that is most widely spoken is TWI.
Twi. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And how do you say bye in Twi?
How do you say bye? I've forgotten. What is coming to mind quickly is Akwaba, is welcome.
Oh, Akwaba, so it's welcome. Okay, that's a good one. And how do you say hi in Kinyarwanda?
here we say Muraho.
Muraho, okay, Muraho. Yeah. That's how you say hi. Okay, yeah. Wow. And Jane, yes. What's your favorite fun activity?
I like traveling. Oh. I like traveling. I like sightseeing. I like moving around. Yeah.
And all the places you've been, Kenya, Ghana, Rwanda, what's your favorite spot to visit? What have you liked? What's the one spot that you really liked?
One spot.
Like one place. Like what's the...
Okay,
what's
I like visiting the especially the national parks.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's great.
Any place I visit, I like visiting the national parks. Amazing to see the wildlife and all that. Yeah.
And what was your... worst subject in school?
Worst subject? what art and crafts? We had a very harsh teacher who used to beat us so much. It never got into my mind. Yes.
Oh, wow. Thank you. I always like discussing these things. It's always fun to know what people liked, what people struggled with. Thank you so much. So you don't like anything to do with art and craft nowadays, I'm assuming.
Okay, I've started appreciating some art somehow. But I am not an art person. I can't draw anything, not even an orange.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jane Mwangi. I really appreciate you coming, taking the time. I know you're going to pick your kids from school. Thank you. Yeah. My last question, where can people reach you, your website, your social media handles, and I'll make sure I post them on the show notes.
My website is www.diasporainterlink.com. Mm-hmm. And when you visit the website, you'll have all the other links there.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. We'll
yes,
do that.
And yeah, I'll send you all the other details as well.
Okay, please do send them to me and I will really appreciate. Thank you. Mm-hmm. God bless you. Thank you for taking the time. This is such a great eye-opener. The African diaspora from our friend Jane Mwangi. Asante sana again. As I say in Swahili, that means thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure participating. Thank you so much.
Bye.